This morning's scripture reading will be in English, Cantonese, and Mandarin, and it comes from John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
约翰福音13章34-35节，我赐给你们一条新命令。 乃是叫你们彼此相爱。我怎样爱你们，你们也要怎样相爱。你们若有彼此相爱的心，众人因此就认出你们是我的门徒了。
在约翰福音13章34至35节，我赐给你们一条新命令，乃是叫你们彼此相爱。我怎样爱你们，你们也要怎样相爱。你们若有彼此相爱的心， 众人因此就认出你们是我的门徒了。Good
morning, everyone. Jo-san. I do want to say one thing before I start is this meeting, this AMM Sunday, was supposed to take place last Sunday, March 3rd. And so you guys would not have been affected by the time change. So, but because of circumstances, we had to change it to this week. And so I'm sorry for getting you up earlier than normal. But that's disclaimer for this morning. Also want to say to the worship team, thank you for leading us. Indeed a joy to be able to sing together in a way that we can express ourselves fully. And Harwood, our worship leader this morning, going to tutor me in some Chinese? I think I could learn a bit from you. At the end of 2018, Deb, my wife, my son Chris, and I, we went to Hong Kong for vacation. This was just a few months ago. It had been 50 years since my family moved from Hong Kong to Vancouver, moved in 1968. It was the first time that Deb and I had gone back to Hong Kong in 28 years. Last time was in 1990, even before our son was born. So needless to say, things have changed since we've been there. Things have changed a lot. Oh, sorry, I'm not seeing it at the back screen there. Anyways, whether it's the city skyline of Hong Kong, whether it be the buildings, the architecture, whether it be the former residence that people used to live at. We lived in this building 50 years ago. It was built in 1965, and at that time, it was one of the tallest buildings in that area, Robinson Road. And as you can see, it was a 10-story building. As you can see, you know, there are towers 40 stories high, which pretty well surround that building now, and it's totally, totally different than what I remember it to be. So I was shocked to see this. Whether it be the harbor in Hong Kong, whether it be Sneaker Street. Did you know there's a Sneaker Street in Hong Kong? I didn't know that. It's a street like, I don't know, a few blocks long that only sells runners. And my son, he is like the ultimate get the right deal type of person. And so he literally went into almost every store to check the price. And by the time 2 hours are over, it's his son. Just buy it. It's only $2 different from one another. He did get the best deal in runners, though. Things have changed a lot. Whether it be the subway system that is so extensive nowadays, whether it be the people, the culture, the mindset, the escalator. You guys know about the escalator? Well, I didn't. The escalator was only built in 1993. 3 years after I left Hong Kong. And so the escalator is very unique. It takes you from the central districts of Hong Kong up to the mid-levels of districts of Hong Kong. And it's quite long. It's the longest outdoor covered escalator in the world, actually. And so I just was fascinated. I wanted to take it all day long and go up and down. You know, this is, I don't know if you can show this clip. I just have a short clip of Deb here as we're riding the escalator.
We're on the escalator.
Okay, I'm on
I couldn't help it. I was so excited. That was one of the things I was looking for going back to Hong Kong, the escalator. And did you notice how Deb is saying, don't be annoying? She has a friendly face even when she scolds me in public. I'm blessed. What can I say? I'm blessed. Things have changed a lot, whether it be the cost of living, whether it be the lifestyle of some of the people there, whether it be the eateries. Actually, it's just Gong Jai Min. That's all it is. We watched some Anthony Bourdain videos of Hong Kong before going back to Hong Kong. And we're trying to find those open-air food stalls. You know what I'm talking about? The Dai Pai Dongs, right? We're trying to find them. We spent all afternoon, one afternoon, for a couple hours trying to find a Dai Pai Dong. And we could not find any. You know, Deb's mom was trying to convince us not to go to eat there because it's so unclean, she says. But we just wanted to try it for the experience. But we couldn't even find one. Things have changed so much. You see, things have changed a lot since we've been there 28 years ago. Hong Kong is constantly changing. The world is constantly changing. You know, even when we visited a church in Hong Kong, that one Sunday we were there, we had noticed that it is very different, even from the churches here in Vancouver. Deb and I were saying that it's almost as if the Asian churches here in Vancouver, which have been planted by those who immigrated from Hong Kong in the 60s and 70s, had, in a sense, frozen in time. They've remained the same, the churches here. The churches here in Vancouver with Chinese-speaking services haven't changed much over the past few decades, whereas the churches in Hong Kong have changed as the people, the culture, and the mindset have changed over the years. And I was wondering to myself, why is that? Someone said that unless a church or a ministry is already perfect, it will need to change. Isn't that true? Unless a church or a ministry is already perfect, it will need to change. Now, we don't change for change's sake, or we don't change in order just to be different, no. But we need to change in order to minister effectively in our world today. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 to 17, Jesus says this. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making it tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No. They pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. You see, sometimes the new work of God cannot be contained in old or outdated forms. If we are to see a new work of God in our midst today, we will need to adjust our expectations and not try to contain the new in the forms of the old. Used wineskins have already been stretched as far as they can go without bursting due to the gases that's produced in the fermentation period of the original wine. And so new wineskins are for new wine in order for the wineskin to accommodate expansion and change. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us become new wineskins. The Lord is always doing a new thing in our lives. But we can't experience it. We can't fully benefit from it if we're not in a position to receive it. In fact, we may even suffer from these new things if we aren't ready to receive it. Jesus said that old wineskins will burst when new wine is poured into them. What this means is that old mindsets even if it's based on godly principles, will not be able to handle the new and the needed changes that are from God. The disciples were able to handle Jesus' teaching, the new wine, the new covenant, because they were new wineskins. The Pharisees had a set of rules that were so rigid that if anyone did not align with their interpretation of Scripture, with their way of doing things, which were based more on tradition than anything else, then people were wrong. We have got to become new wineskins. We want to receive and embrace new revelations from God. New wineskins means a readiness. New wineskins means a readiness for the new things of God. If we want to become this, we need to leave our comfort zones. We need to trade in that which we find familiar and trustworthy for something that can only be done through faith in God. We need to put aside all the limitations and all the limiting perceptions we may have about God and what He can and cannot do. We need to trust and follow His word by faith. The Lord says to His people in Isaiah 43, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." See, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, the wineskins had to be changed. Now, this same principle is true in families as children grow and mature. When a child is 2 years old, you don't expect him to act like a 13-year-old. And you don't expect a 13-year-old to act like a 26-year-old, do you? I mean, do you expect that? But you do expect them to grow up and to change. Isn't that right? When our son, Chris, was 13 years old, he was like a typical teenager. He's no different. A typical 13-year-old. You know, thinking his own world, thinking about his own things. Difficult for us to ask him to do things that are for the whole family and all that. And so he was a bit like a typical teenager when he was 13. And then recently, in the last days, as he turned 24, 25, 26, something miraculous happened. He used to call us when he was 13 years old, 14 years old, and go, "Dad, Mom, I need this. You know, what's dinner? Is there food in the fridge?" Now, when he's turned 25, 26, he's still calling us and saying, "Dad, what's for dinner? Is there food in the fridge?" Because we have nothing in our fridge, except when Pauline gives us stuff. But nowadays, he would text us before coming home, going shopping in grocery store. "Do you need anything?" Oh, my goodness. For you parents of young kids out there, your day will come. Your day will come. Hang in there. 26, magic number. If a child does not grow and change, you know there's something wrong. So change is normal for family to experience. It's normal. The same pattern can be observed in our church family as well. Our church family. When we first started Fraser Lands Church back in 1991, we had very limited resources. I remember we had only one small group. In our whole English ministry, there's one small group. It's about 20 of us. There was only, I remember, only one fellowship group in the Cantonese ministry. And there were no Mandarin ministry at that time. In our English congregation at that time, there was only Uncle Noel and his guitar. And sometimes maybe a pianist, sometimes maybe an organist, maybe a vocalist. But there were no bass guitars. There were no drums. There were no electric keyboards, no saxophones, no violins during those early days. There was no Alpha in the church at that time. There was no community day. There was no an evening December in those early years. And so to get from where we were in 1991 to where we are today has required a lot of changes, constant changes. Jesus began with only 12 disciples. And then after Pentecost in the book of Acts, the Jerusalem church began to grow and to mature. And then the Holy Spirit pushed the church out of Jerusalem into Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Acts 6, they learned how to deal with internal problems. And they resolved that whole feeding of the widows issue. In Acts chapter 9, they learned that Gentiles were to be included in the kingdom of God, not just Jews, Gentiles. And when Peter had a vision at noon, that was followed up by him going to visit Cornelius' house, many people came to faith in Christ because of the change of mindset, the new revelation from God. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit sent out the first missionaries to Gentile countries. In Acts chapter 15, the people of God learned how to resolve problems that arose from cross-cultural missions. And so on and so on. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, the church should never remain the same. It should never be said of and in a church, we've always done it that way. Change is the non-negotiable cause. It is the non-negotiable consequence of renewal. Without it, we become stale and stagnant, frozen in time, ineffective in ministering in our world today. The challenge, however, is that most of us do not like change. We don't like change. I don't like change. We'd rather keep things as they are. We don't see a need to change. But hear me in this. If our non-biblically mandated traditions, if our non-biblically mandated traditions are unalterable, are unchangeable, because we feel comfortable with them, because we've always done it this way, they will keep us from being renewed as a church. So first, let us become new wineskins, as Jesus said. However, let us not rush change. Let us not rush change. But instead, be patient. You see, we don't begin with what we think should be changed. Jesus spent much time in prayer to hear and to see what his Father was doing. Jesus said in John chapter 5, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So if this is true of Jesus, how much more important it must be for us to see and to hear from God as to what he wants done with his church. Remember, this is his church, not ours. As much as we love Fraserlands Church, and I know a lot of you do, and you want changes to take place in order so that we can grow and become renewed, it's ultimately God alone who will cause the growth, who will cause the renewal, not us. So a few things to keep in mind as we desire change. First, what does the Lord want? What does the Lord want? And then secondly, what is he revealing to the leadership of the church? And by the leadership, I mean pastors, elders, deacons, those in your ministry team. You see, healthy change comes with wise counsel and the right timing. Appropriate buy-in from the leaders, from the elders and pastors and staff and deacons, and the readiness of the people of God. We need to ask God and our leaders not only what to change, why to change, how to change, but also when to change. This is probably one of the most important things about change, the when. Are the people ready? And is it the Lord's timing, most important of all? These conditions need to be met, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Before we started the Hearing God seminar at our church, I had experienced it 1.5 years ago myself during my sabbatical in October of 2017. I wanted to offer this to our church right away when I came back in October 2017. I sensed the Spirit saying to me, it's not the right time yet. The people are not ready to receive this. The elders and the staff have not experienced this. You need the key leaders and the key influencers of the church to help you discern, to support you in this. You cannot do it by yourself or push it through by yourself. This is what I sensed the Lord saying to me. So what I did was, I prayed about it for a couple months, and then the Lord prompted me to bring some elders and some pastors to Southland Church in Steinbach, Manitoba, in order to experience this for themselves, to allow God to speak to them directly. And so we went with 12 elders and pastors and our spouses a few months later to a church renewal weekend at Southland Church. Then half a year after that, another 14 elders and staff and spouses went to discern and pray. If we want to go in this direction, and more importantly, if we are to do so, when we are to do so. Consensus was this. We would spend 6 months going through the Hearing God seminar ourselves first, as elders and pastors and staff, and then we would decide. So then after some of the senior leaders of our church had experienced hearing God for themselves, and they accompanied me to the church renewal weekend, I asked for their opinion and counsel, and they affirmed that, yes, we should do this. But then the next question really was, when? When should we do this? Well, after we prayed about it for a while, asking the Lord when, we finally decided that after 1.5 years of praying and waiting, that this was the right time. This was the right time. And I really believe that. As close to 180, 200 of us are now, about a quarter of our church, are now learning to do this together as a church. Oh my. There's such joy when I can see that happening. It's not just one or two of us going out and doing our own thing. It is one quarter of our church learning to hear God together every week for 6 weeks. Who comes when it's snowing outside? Who comes when it's freezing rain? The Spirit of God moves people to come. You see, change is good, and change is necessary for effective ministry in today's world. But we need to embrace change in God's time and in God's way. The Bible says this, "The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not rush the process. Leave it in God's hand. We must not force the issue, but rather to go at the pace that the Spirit is moving and that the people are ready for. We need to be patient because God is working out many things behind the scenes that we may not even be aware of. But there may be times in which the Spirit of God will want us to change quickly. And so we must be ready to move quickly when He moves quickly and not lag behind. To do so, we must learn to hear God's voice together and to discern together. We need to communicate regularly the value of change, what the Lord has told us to do, how we're doing it, and what will happen as a result. We need to communicate that to people. And then, obedience to the Lord will turn into great blessing for the church, even when we didn't know how to start. Dear Fraselands Church, there's a spiritual battle being fought behind the scenes. If we don't win the battle in the heavenlies, we will not win it on the ground. As long as Moses' hands were raised to heaven in prayer, Joshua and the troops were winning on the ground. But when Moses' hands were lowered from weariness, Joshua and the troops were pushed back by the enemy. Whenever we embark on change, we must pray for God to give us His favor, to give us His protection, as the enemy will try everything he can to create havoc and division in the church. He will. I guarantee you, He will. He'll try to pit us against one another. He'll cause us to think badly of my brother or sister, to speak badly of my brother and sister. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We need to embrace change in God's time and in God's way. But there's one thing we cannot change. Everything in our church can change, and it will change. One senior pastor retires, another one will retire in about 7-8 years. But there's one thing that cannot change. And that is our love for one another. Our love for one another. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, which was read to us earlier, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." The world will know we are Christians by our love. It is the hallmark of who we are as believers and as followers of Jesus Christ. This is how people will know that we're Christ's disciples, simply and plainly by our love for each other. Nothing distinguishes us more. Nothing distinguishes us more. Not our ability to teach and preach great sermons, not our ability to prophesy and speak in tongues, not our ability to lead great worship or have the best choir, but it all boils down to this one thing, this one constant in our Christian lives. Love. Love one another, Jesus said. Praise the Lord's church. Let us not base our decisions on anything else, but let us always base our decisions out of love for each other. Let us build bridges instead of barriers. I was reading this passage, such a familiar passage. We hear it all the time. Sometimes, maybe not in the right context, but nonetheless, we hear this all the time. It gripped me this time when I read it a couple weeks ago. It gripped me. As I read this, the words of God speak to me just as much as I hope it will speak to you. This is the word of the Lord for the church of Jesus Christ, for those who belong to the bride of Christ. This is the word of God for us. If you hear nothing else today, leave with this passage in mind. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and could fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh my goodness, did that hit me hard this week? I have documentation and emails from people that I have and I keep just in case. Just in case. And the Lord spoke to me loud and clear on that this week. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we must put aside all that separates us, all that divides us, so that we can love one another as Jesus Christ, our Lord, has asked us to do. I just want to end with the last verse. 1 Peter 4:8, the Apostle Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, you are Lord. You are our God. And we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Teach us your way, O God. Teach us the greater way, O Lord Jesus. Teach us that greatest gift that you said in your word. O Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, transform our hearts today, I pray. Would your words, O God, remain with us even as we leave this place today? May we exhibit that one character that distinguishes us from everyone on the face of the earth. The love of the Father. The love of the Son on the cross. And the love that's given to us each day by the Spirit of God that lives within us. Come, Holy Spirit, do your work in us, we pray. Amen.